Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Our reading begins in verse 32. I want to remind you that the persecutor of the church, Saul, has been converted. And on this day, when we think about our brothers and sisters and the persecution they undergo and their desire that God would not destroy but convert their persecutors, we need to remember that there's a long history of that. Not only the persecution, but the conversion of the persecutors. Now, beginning in verse 32 of Acts chapter 9, this is the reading of God's word. As Peter traveled around the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What do we do with stories like this? And why don't we see more of that today? Well, that's a very legitimate and even important question, because I believe it helps us understand what's going on here and what we're to learn from it. Peter was traveling around the country, and he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There were already believers there. And while there, he found a man named Aeneas. That doesn't mean that he went searching for him. It means that in his visiting with the believers, he met this man. He found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic. He's defined in this phraseology by his difficulty. We do that a lot with people. A paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Would you say that if you've had the problem for 8 years, you've pretty much got the problem? 8 years this guy had been paralyzed. This was clearly established. Everybody knew him as a paralytic. And Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. And so everybody who saw this turned to the Lord. Because everybody knew humanly that's not possible. It doesn't say everybody who saw this turned to Peter. It says everybody who saw this turned to the Lord. Why? Because Peter didn't say, I heal you. He said, Jesus Christ heals you. The purpose of what Peter was doing was not just so that Aeneas would be able to walk. This wasn't the first time that God had used Peter in this way. If you remember earlier in Acts, he was on his way up to the temple and there was a man who was there who was begging for alms. And Peter said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And instantly the man was healed and went walking and jumping up and down and praising God. So Peter had experience with this sort of thing, but when we do something in Jesus' name, we need to be acting in obedience to Jesus' command. Jesus said that he only did what the Father told him to do. And he only said what the Father told him to say. And Peter had learned, even though he was prone to saying the wrong thing from time to time, Peter had learned that if he was going to operate in this kind of supernatural power, he needed to be doing so in obedience to the Lord's command. Now, the impact of what he did was not just that this man was healed. The impact was that because this man was healed by Jesus, people began to believe in Jesus. And that was the purpose of what had taken place. I have to ask, when I'm wanting something from God, is it in order to make my life more convenient, more comfortable, more pleasant, more respectable, or is it because my great passion and desire is the spread of the gospel? Now, if anybody asked me, are you in favor of the spread of the gospel? Well, of course, yes, I would definitely say that. But is that really your passion? Is that really what it's about? Is that what motivates and drives you? Is that what gets you up in the morning? Is that why you do what you do? Is that the grid through which you make your decisions? Churches have to decide. Why are we doing what we're doing? What is our responsibility as far as trying to reach people who don't know Jesus? Do we do what we do with an eye toward accomplishing that for which Jesus has left us here on earth? Because Jesus has left us here as his representatives to bring the good news to people who don't know it. That's not the only thing the church is supposed to do, but it has to be at the heart of what the church is doing. It has to be vital to the way we assess the investment of our resources and everything that we're seeking to do. We've got to look at it in terms of what does God want? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that people could be saved. So if we're not moved by the desire to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a disconnect between us and the heart of God. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone and into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his people, all, it says, who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. This had a huge impact. Now, we're then introduced to another person in another nearby town. A woman by the name of Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, just a reminder that this book was being written with an eye toward sharing it with people who spoke another language, which again is a reminder to us of the mission heart of God. As this is being written, they didn't just say, this is the way it is. They then said, let me put that in your language. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Please notice this. She was always doing good and helping the poor. What will happen to you if you devote your life to doing good and helping the poor? You're liable to get sick and die. That doesn't sound very promising. Oh, it's a promise. Okay? I want us to see that when people do the right thing, they still are likely to get sick and eventually die. Pastor, that's not encouraging at all. Well, you know what will happen if you don't devote yourself to doing the right thing? Liable to get sick and die. In other words, we don't do the right thing as a way of preventing ourselves from getting sick and dying. Now, I mean, hand washing is good, but... but I mean, what about all these people who are going over there into an area that's a hotbed of infection with Ebola, and they're putting their lives on the line, they're risking their very lives? I think maybe that's a little much, a little over the top. Shouldn't they just stay back here and pray? What about the people who are being called of God to go into places where Christians are being beheaded? And they feel called of God to go in there and share the gospel. I'm not sure that's a good plan. Let me tell you. It is not a good plan not to go when God tells us to go. You do not want to say, no, God, I've got better plans. I have other ideas. I want to do what I want to do. I want to save my life. You do that, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus' sake, you'll find it. So is everybody supposed to go over there to that contested part of Iraq and say, you know, we have come, you know, what was the, here I come to save the day. Wasn't that the tune, Mighty Mouse? Yeah. I'm old. I know some people with that mindset, though. They do that in family situations and everything else. Okay? It's like, oh, I'm here. I'm here. And we want to come in and we'll rescue and we'll fix it. And the fact of the matter is, no. Jesus Christ heals you in this. Now, does God send his people into scary, difficult, painful, even deadly situations? Absolutely. Does God keep his people in situations like that? Absolutely. But folks, whatever our situation, one of the things we need to understand as a part of life in this fallen world is that people who are devoted to doing good get sick and die sometimes. It happens. And when it happens, we're not supposed to freak out like this is some alien, weird experience. It's what's going to happen to all of us. You see, all of us have to face this. All of us, if we live long enough, we'll get sick and die. Now, if we get killed in a car accident or a plane crash or something like that, a tree falls on us, then we don't get sick and die. We die sooner. But we're all going to get sick and die if we live long enough. But this is not a reason to be depressed. This is a reason to understand that every day is precious, that life is a limited thing in this world, and that we need to make the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So what, God, do you want me to do with my life? What would you have me do? How would you have me invest what you've entrusted to me? Because we don't know how much more time we've got, but we do know that one of these days, it's going to be done. So what are we going to do between now and then? Amen? Now, that's one lesson from this. But thank God it's not the whole lesson. Because there's something else glorious that happens here that we need to pay attention to. She got sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room, showing the regard that believers had, not just for her, but for the body, knowing that there will be a resurrection. That when we plant a body in the ground, it is like planting a seed. See 1 Corinthians 15. Because this isn't the end. There is life after death. Well, after she died and after they prepared her body for burial and placed it in an upstairs room, they sent word to Peter. Two men were sent to another town where he was, and they urged him, please come at once. And so Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And Peter said, everybody, out of the room. Peter didn't want to put on a circus act. This wasn't a magic trick. Peter wanted to go to his Lord and pray. So he sent everyone else out of the room, and then he got on his knees before God and he began to pray. And after he had prayed on his knees before God, then he turned toward the dead woman and he said, Tabitha, get up. And please notice this. He said that to a dead woman. But when he spoke, he was speaking what the Lord had told him to say as he sought the Lord in prayer. And let me tell you something. When we act in Jesus' name, not taking his name in vain, God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. But not taking his name in vain, but acting in his name, acting in his authority, acting in obedience to him, when we do that, the word of God does not return void. You can say to a mountain, get up and be cast into the sea, and it will obey because you're not speaking your words, you're speaking God's word. And God's word will be fulfilled. So, he said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. And he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? He presented them to her. I have something to show you now. Come here. Come here. Wow! Wow! Fabulous. This became known all over Joppa. Well, you think? You're not going to believe what happened. You've heard about that guy, Peter? He's here in town, and oh. But you see, it wasn't just Peter that was in town. It was Jesus. And let me tell you something, folks. It'd be pretty exciting to be able to bring Tabitha into the room, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty cool. We have something so much more wonderful, so much more exciting. We have here with us today the one who raised her from the dead and gave her renewed life and strength. And it brought many people to faith in Jesus Christ, which is the key thing. That's what it was about. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. It sounds like there may have been more people who came because of Aeneas than because of her. And the reason would be because Aeneas had been a paralytic for 8 years. Everybody knew he was a paralytic. This woman had died and was brought back to life within, at most, a matter of days. Probably less than that. And so there were undoubtedly a lot of skeptics who said, I don't think she was really dead. I just can't believe she was really dead. I mean, if she was really dead, you know, she wouldn't be back. I mean, people, once they're dead, that's it, you know. I mean, that's why they call it dead. I mean, it's like it's final. Nope, not final. It's not final. That's what we need to understand. That's why we don't have to be afraid of martyrdom or sickness or old age. Because death doesn't get the final word. Jesus is the final word. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. All power and all authority belong to Him. And so, when we face the prospect of death, it doesn't have to terrify us. Because the fact is that Jesus Christ is stronger than death. He proved it. Because Jesus didn't rise again and die again. Jesus rose again and lives and reigns forever. Hallelujah. Well, does God still do this kind of stuff? Not often. But He does still do this kind of stuff. And He does it when He decides it's the appropriate thing to do. Well, Pastor, have you ever seen a supernatural instantaneous healing? Yes, I have. But it's been few enough that I can count them on one hand. But I've not only seen them, I've experienced one. I had requested prayer because I was sick, and God instantaneously healed me. I'd been to the doctor, I'd gotten the medicines, but the medicines were not doing much. And all of a sudden, instantly, I was miraculously healed. I know God still does that stuff. But I've had a lot of other sicknesses since, and I've had a number of surgeries since. And it's not because I just am weak in my faith. It's because so far, that's been God's instrument for allowing me to trust Him and meet a bunch of people I wouldn't have met otherwise. But does God have the power to do that? Of course. God has the power to create the universe. God also has the power to bring the universe to a dramatic, cataclysmic end. And the fact of the matter is that we don't really get to vote about whether or not God is going to be God. So, what's the big takeaway? Brothers and sisters, we need to realize we are in the presence of the one who heals the sick, who raises the dead, and He's here with a message for us. We are to go into all the world and make disciples. That's our task. Wherever you are, wherever the Lord sends you, the message for all of His followers is that we are to be investing our lives in making disciples. So I would say, since He has authority over life and death, since He gave His life in order to redeem ours, we need to say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'll do what You say. And then let's do it.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.